Verse 27, if reverence for the Buddhas is exceeded merely by an altruistic intention, how much more so by striving for the complete happiness of all sentient beings? Okay, so if you think about the incredible merit that comes from offering an ocean of offerings to an ocean of Buddhas, I mean, just imagine that you had the ability to offer skies or oceans of skies full of offerings to immeasurable a number of Buddhas. That would create a lot of good karma, wouldn't it? Making that kind of offerings to all the Buddhas. Well, that kind of good karma is superseded just by the aspiring bodhicitta. Okay? So it's that kind of good karma of making oceans of skies of offerings to infinite Buddhas is exceeded by just the aspiring bodhicitta, then how much more so by the venturing bodhicitta that's really engaged in the practice of the path to attain enlightenment. Verse 28, those desiring to escape from suffering hasten towards suffering with the very desire for happiness. Out of delusion, they destroy their own happiness as if it were an enemy. This verse also is one of the verses that has affected me so powerfully. Okay? Because when you think about it, nobody wants suffering. Everybody wants happiness. But we are so confused in our ignorance that in our attempt to be happy, we create negative karma, which is the cause for more suffering. That's how confused we are. Okay, so that's what this verse is saying. Those desiring to escape from suffering, okay, so ordinary beings who don't want misery, they hasten towards suffering. How do they hasten towards suffering? Because by not knowing the Dharma, all the things they do to try and stop their suffering creates negative karma. So, for example, if we're really poor, what do? To stop our suffering of poverty? We steal. Okay? Does stealing create the cause of suffering or the cause of happiness? Cause of suffering, doesn't it? Okay? When we're suffering because somebody insulted us, okay, what do? We insult that person back. Does that create the cause of happiness or the cause of suffering? Cause of suffering. So you see how even though we want happiness, because we don't understand karma, what to practice and what to avoid, we're constantly creating the cause of misery. Yeah. You look at the terrorists. You know, everybody's so concerned about terrorism. Terrorists just want to be happy. They're just people who are trying to be happy, but they're so confused about the cause of happiness and the cause of suffering that they think doing terrorist activities will bring them happiness. Does doing terrorist activities bring them happiness? No. You know, they create so much negative karma. Sometimes they even kill themselves doing a terrorist activity. Certainly it doesn't bring them happiness. But that's the level of confusion these sentient beings have. So that's why Shantideva is saying, you know, we hasten towards suffering because we're so confused. Okay? So with the very desire for happiness, out of delusion, they destroy their own happiness as if it were an enemy. You know, and when you really think about this, you know, when you think about this in terms of your own life, when you really like review your life and look at the actions you've done in your life and look at the motivations for why you've done those different actions, you know, so often we see that in our attempt to be happy, because we were so confused, we did such stupid, foolish things that harmed other people and that created negative karma. When we see that, we've got to have compassion for ourselves, okay? Because we can understand how foolish, how ignorant we were that we, you know, did those harmful and cruel actions in our attempt to be happy. So we have compassion for ourselves. So instead of judging ourselves, instead of feeling guilty, instead of feeling ashamed and being judgmental about ourselves, we have some compassion for the person that we were that was so ignorant and did those actions. Okay? If we can have compassion for ourselves that way, then we can also have compassion for all the other living beings who foolishly create so much negative karma and do so many rude, obnoxious, and even cruel things in the midst of their delusion and confusion. Okay? So when we look at things this way, it becomes impossible to hate others. Okay? Totally impossible. It doesn't matter what somebody does. Okay? You can't hate them because you realize that what they did under the power of their own ignorant mind. And how can you hate somebody who has no control over their own ignorant mind? The only possible response towards such a person is compassion. It's the only response. Okay? So when we really think like that, we free our mind from hatred. We free our mind from judgment and anger. Yeah? Verse 29. He satisfies with all joys those who are starving for happiness and eliminates all sorrows of those who are afflicted in many ways. So this is talking about a bodhisattva. So a bodhisattva is the total opposite of this kind of confused being that we usually are. But instead, a bodhisattva satisfies all joys of those who are starving for happiness. How does a bodhisattva do that? Well, if a bodhisattva has the opportunity to give food to the hungry or a house to the homeless or become a friend to somebody who's lonely, a bodhisattva does that. But the best way the bodhisattva benefits is by teaching the Dharma to sentient beings. And that's why they say the gift of the Dharma excels all other gifts. So if we want to be able to give the gift of the Dharma, we have to practice the Dharma and actualize it in our own mind. Okay? And the bodhicitta is what enables us to do that. Okay? So a bodhisattva eliminates all sorrows of those who are afflicted in many ways. So we can really trust the bodhisattvas. You know, if we have faith in them and if we follow the teachings that they give, definitely our suffering will come to an end. If we just sit and pray to them, our suffering will not come to an end. Okay? If we just sit and go, Kuan Yin, you know, you're the goddess of mercy. I'm miserable. Kuan Yin, please get rid of my misery. You know, in the meantime, I'm going to watch television, but please, you purify my negative karma. Please change all the circumstances in my life. And if you bring me happiness, I'll offer you some apples. Okay? This is not the way we should be. Yeah. We're not going to get anywhere just by praying. Okay? Praying is good, but we have to act. We can't just request Kuan Yin and Manjushri and all the other Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, you know, to save us from suffering, but in the meantime, we watch television. I mean, come on, we got to help them somehow. Yeah. Sometimes I have the image of these bodhisattvas dragging us, kicking and screaming to enlightenment. You know, it's like we're saying, but wait a minute, I want to stay in samsara. I don't want to give up my attachment. You know, and the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are dragging us and we're like these little infants kicking and screaming and saying, no, no, I don't want to be a Buddha. I want to stay in samsara and be miserable, you know. And the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas, they don't desert us. They just keep dragging us towards enlightenment. I mean, my goodness, we really cause them a lot of headaches, don't we? Yeah? So maybe we should have some compassion for Kuan Yin instead of always asking Kuan Yin to have compassion for us. Maybe we should try being nice to Kuan Yin for a change and make it easy, you know, and like listen to the teachings, start to practice them. Okay, verse 30. He dispels delusion. Where else is there such a saint? Where else is there such a friend? Where else is there such merit? Okay, so a bodhisattva can dispel delusion by teaching us emptiness, by teaching us dependent arising. Okay, that's the best gift a bodhisattva can give us. So where else is there such a saint? Who else can be a better friend to us than a bodhisattva? You know, because a bodhisattva is going to give us the tools so that we stop our own mental suffering. Okay? When we give up ignorance, anger, and attachment, impossible to suffer anymore. Okay? Even everybody hates us, and everybody says right and left, go to hell, go to hell, go to hell. If we don't have ignorance and anger and attachment, we're not going to go to hell. Okay? Even if everybody hates us. Okay? On the other hand, even if everybody loves us and says, oh, you know, go to heaven, go to heaven, go to heaven, if we don't create any good karma, impossible. Okay? Because happiness and suffering comes from our own mind. Verse 31. Even one who repays a kind deed is praised somewhat. So what should be said of a bodhisattva whose good deeds is unsolicited? So even in the world, somebody who is kind is praised, aren't they? You know, even somebody who does a small kindness receives a lot of praise and acknowledgement. You know, well, what about a bodhisattva who helps without even being asked? Yeah? So, I mean, just how much praise. When we praise the bodhisattvas, this is why, you know. And the reason we praise them isn't because they need praise. You know, when you're a Buddha or bodhisattva, you don't need somebody to praise you because you don't have an ego problem. Okay? We ordinary beings like praise because we have ego problems. The holy beings don't have ego problems. When we praise them, it's not for their benefit, it's for our benefit. Because when we praise them, we are opening our mind to understanding their qualities. When we open our mind to understand their qualities, then we are much more likely to create the causes to attain and develop and cultivate those same qualities within ourselves. So that's why we offer praise. Okay, verse 32, the world honors as virtuous one who makes a gift to a few people, even if it is merely a momentary and contemptuous donation of plain food and support for half a day. What then of one who forever bestows to countless sentient beings the fulfillment of all yearnings, which is inexhaustible until the end of beings as limitless as space? Okay. So somebody, in a worldly sense, even somebody who is arrogant, even somebody who is condescending and contemptuous, if they give even a small momentary gift to a few people, we think that they're great. Don't we? You know, we praise that person. Even they had a bad motivation, even they helped just a few people, still what they did was good, and they're praised. What then about somebody who helps countless sentient beings, not just a few sentient beings, but countless sentient beings? And what about somebody who helps these countless sentient beings not just have one small happiness, like to have dinner on one day, but helps them to have the greatest happiness, which is freedom of all suffering forever? Okay? So what about a person who helps somebody, who helps countless living beings have the greatest happiness, which is inexhaustible till the end of beings as limitless as space. I mean, that's pretty big, isn't it? Well, that's exactly what a Buddha does. That's exactly what a Bodhisattva is aiming for. So if we praise somebody who is kind in a small way, then think about the tremendous kindness that the bodhicitta enables a bodhisattva and a Buddha to bestow upon everybody. And so for that reason, you know, let's us ourselves, seeing the benefit of bodhicitta, develop it and cultivate it in our own minds. Okay, verse 34, the Lord declared, so the Lord refers to the Buddha, one who brings forth an impure thought in his heart against a benefactor, a child of the Jina, will dwell in hells for as many eons as there were impure thoughts. Okay? So what this means is if somebody is a bodhisattva, okay, so he's a benefactor, he's somebody who's kind to us, he's a child of the Jina, a child of the Buddha. So somebody who's a bodhisattva, if we have a negative mind towards this bodhisattva and criticize and blame and gossip, then we're creating incredible negative karma ourselves. Why? Because this person is working for the benefit of countless sentient beings. Okay? So when we inhibit their good deeds, we are inhibiting the happiness of all sentient beings. That's why it creates such negative karma to have impure thoughts or to interfere in the virtuous actions of a bodhisattva. But if one's mind, verse 35, but if one's mind is kindly inclined, one will bring forth an even greater fruit. Even when a greatly violent crime is committed against the children of the Jinas, their virtue spontaneously arises. And this is the thing. For a bodhisattva, even somebody harms that bodhisattva, the bodhisattva won't retaliate, the bodhisattva won't hold a grudge. Instead, the bodhisattvas will pray, may I lead this person to enlightenment. Okay? So even if we, in our stupidity, create negative karma in relationship to a bodhisattva by interfering with their virtuous deeds, by criticizing them, even if we create that negative karma, still there's some benefit derived from our contact with that bodhisattva, because that bodhisattva will sincerely pray, may I lead this sentient being to enlightenment. Yeah, by the contact we're having now, even though this sentient being is harming me, in the future, when that sentient being is born in a different situation, may I lead him or her to enlightenment. Okay? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah? So even we have a negative interaction with a bodhisattva, we still benefit by the power of their great compassion. Okay, so this is the power of bodhicitta. Then verse 36. So this is Shantideva's summary of this chapter. I pay homage to the bodies of those in whom this precious jewel of the mind has arisen. I go for refuge to those who are minds of joy, towards whom even an offense results in happiness. Okay. So Shantideva is paying homage to all of these bodhisattvas and Buddhas in whom the precious jewel of the mind of bodhicitta has arisen. He goes for refuge. I go for refuge to those who are the minds, who are the treasures of joy, so much so that even a negative interaction will result in happiness in the long term. By the power of that bodhisattva, making a prayer to have a strong karmic link with the person who does a negative action towards them. So that's the power of the goodness of bodhicitta. Okay? So this first chapter is Shantideva's encouragement to us to really make the generation of bodhicitta the foremost thing in our life. Okay? So remember, When I was saying the other evening, when you first wake up in the morning, to think what's the most important thing, you know, first not to harm others, second to benefit them as much as possible, and third to hold this bodhicitta mind no matter what happens during the day. Well, that's why. Because we just cultivate bodhicitta again and again and again, and it will lead to these wonderful results, not only for ourselves, but for all countless living beings. So we finished the first chapter. Okay, we have a few minutes for some questions. I have questions left over from yesterday, but if there's any from today. So somebody had asked, saying, I understand that at Srivasti Abbey conducts a 3-month retreat every winter, and that we've done that for 2 years. Please share with us the most recent experiences of the retreat. Will there be a retreat again next year? Can Singaporeans participate? Of course you can participate. Okay, so what we do at the Abbey is every winter, because it snows, and it's so beautiful to meditate in the snow. So we close the Abbey to visitors, and or should I say, all the visitors come before the retreat, and then we all do retreat for 3 months. So during this retreat, we do 6 meditation sessions a day. Each meditation session is about an hour and a quarter. A couple of them are an hour and a half. And we do the retreat together as a group. And so everybody comes in the meditation hall. The group energy is really tremendous because people are in silence, practicing in silence. Although they may guide a meditation or lead a motivation, speaking occurs in that kind of way, but there's no chit-chat or, you know, that kind of stuff during the retreat. And people have had incredible experiences the last 2 years when we've done these retreats. It's really been, I think, a very life-transforming experience for people. You know, because how often in your life do you have the opportunity to do 3 months of retreat in a place with really perfect conditions, where it's very quiet, where other people are cooking and taking care of you, where there's a question and answer session, you know, and supportive friends and a teacher to guide you. So we've had, you know, people have had very, very good retreats. And what we also do is some people do the retreat from afar. So, you know, not everybody can take off of work for 3 months, but some people do the retreat from afar in the sense of, instead of doing 6 meditation sessions every day, they do 1. But for 3 months, they do the same practices we're doing, but for 1 meditation session every day. So this last year, we had almost 80 people doing the retreat from afar in that way, and 20 of them were prisoners. Yeah, and it was quite amazing, you know, like we had people internationally from so many countries doing the retreat with us from afar by doing 1 meditation session a day. So yes, we will be having it again in all the subsequent years, and certainly Singaporeans can come. It'll be a change for you living in the snow, but you know, it's fine. If you wish to do that, you can go to the website, and there's information about it. This coming year, the retreat is going to be on Chenrezig, the Buddha of Compassion, or Kuan Yin is the Chinese name. That's the retreat we'll be doing. Okay. So you mentioned that a person is arrogant because they're insecure. How then do we deal with this person when they become difficult? Practice patience. That's chapter 6. Okay? You know, just practice being patient with them. That's the only thing to do. Don't react to their arrogance. Oh, wait a minute. Some of these are ones I answered before, aren't they? Yeah. Sorry. Let's see. Other religions also teach compassion. Is this the same as bodhicitta? Is Mother Teresa a bodhisattva? Okay, so yes, other religions teach compassion, but compassion alone is not bodhicitta. Okay? Compassion alone is not bodhicitta. Why? Compassion can be for one person. Bodhicitta is for all limitless sentient beings. Compassion can be a small compassion, wanting somebody who's sick to be well, wanting somebody who's hungry to have food, wanting somebody who's depressed to be happy. But compassion can also be much huger, wanting somebody who's stuck in cyclic existence to be free of cyclic existence. Okay? So we can see that there's a difference between compassion and bodhicitta, because compassion is a cause for bodhicitta. But compassion can be for one sentient being. Compassion doesn't necessarily have to wish everybody be free of suffering. Compassion doesn't have to be towards all sentient beings. And compassion does not have to motivate somebody to want to attain enlightenment for the benefit of all beings. Compassion may motivate somebody to be kind, but being kind isn't, you know, the six, isn't doing all of the six paramitas, the six perfections which lead to enlightenment. So bodhicitta is much, much faster than compassion. Okay? But compassion is definitely important, and it's a cause for bodhicitta. Anybody who practices compassion, we should honor and respect. Any teaching of compassion, no matter what religion it's in, we should honor and respect. Because it's something good. It's teaching kindness. It doesn't matter who said it. Is Mother Teresa a bodhisattva? I have no idea. I cannot tell anybody else's level of mind. You know, she might be, she might not be. She certainly helped a lot of sentient beings. Okay? The Dalai Lama, you know, people say, is he a bodhisattva or not? I can't tell you. I believe he is, and I can see the benefit he does for sentient beings. You know, but I think the issue for us isn't who is a bodhisattva, meaning other people, but am I a bodhisattva? And if I'm not, how can I become one? That's much more important for us. Okay? So tonight we only had time for one question. So you've been a very wonderful audience, and some of you have really made an effort to come every single night of the teachings. So I'm sure you've missed some good television programs. And, you know, maybe you've had to combat some drowsiness during the teachings to stay awake and listen to them. But no matter whether you've come to one, two, three, or four of these evenings' teachings, I'm sure you've created a lot of positive potential that will be very beneficial for your mind in this life and bring many, many good results in future lives. And hopefully, because of having planted the seed of seeing the benefit of bodhicitta, hopefully through that we will all generate the aspiration to generate bodhicitta, and from there the aspiration to become fully enlightened Buddhas for the benefit of all sentient beings. Okay, so let's just sit quietly for a moment, and let's just dedicate all this incredible positive potential we've created, you know, from just thinking about bodhicitta. Let's send it out and dedicate it to all the infinite sentient beings. Okay, so we can imagine the light of bodhicitta, the light of our positive potential, radiating out from our heart, filling the entire universe as we dedicate our positive potential. so that each and every living being may generate bodhicitta and become a fully enlightened Buddha. Okay. So thank you all very much.